Don't you feel like ducks today? We are like ducks to the water, right? It just flows right off our back. And I am so glad for you. Glad that you were worshiping with us today. So let's bow our heads and have a little word of prayer. We are grateful for each and every day, even this rainy day, dear God, because you bless us with your love. And we are grateful for all the good gifts that you send to us, including the rain. We pray your blessing upon this time of worship, that we commit ourselves in body, mind, and spirit to the worship of you. That is why we are here, and we praise your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for being here. I'd like to invite visitors to sign the welcome sheet, the cards. They're in the pew, so if you're visiting with us, we'd like to know you a little bit better, and hopefully you want to get to know us too. It goes both ways, and we are very glad to have all guests as a part of the body of Christ as we find it here at Calvary. And let's greet one another with the peace of Christ.
Good morning, Calvary.
Good morning.
Where's our pastor? Oh, there she is. Good morning. Delighted to be your service. It's October, you know. Can't believe it's October already. Welcome and thank you for joining us on this rainy day. We do have some announcements. The Love Bugs will be making hymnal angels from the old Cokesbury hymnals donated by Andy. Thank you, Andy. We are taking orders for them at $15 each, and you can talk to Peggy, Beth, Myra, Teresa, or Iris, maybe. That would be a nice gift for Christmas or to add to your Christmas decorations. And 100% of the profit will go to the church to use on the finance committee wishes, however they see fit to use it. Clay County Utility Worship Service is October. Unity, not utility. Okay. We all have our utilities from the storm, I guess. October 11th, and that's to in response to all of the different calamities of the world, just come together in unity, not utilities. We do. Bob has some announcements for the pumpkin patch. Okay.
Okay, I was told to put a face with this announcement. Look at her. Okay. Pumpkin patch. You see in your bulletins there is a volunteer sign-up sheet. The sign-up roster poster is out in the hallway. Please fill this out or fill it out on the roster out in the hallway. One conflict with the roster, we do open the patch from 9 o'clock to dusk on Saturday only. The roster will allow you to sign up all the way through the week if you'd like to be here from 9 to 11. Okay. 2-hour slots, please read this. Fill it out. Additional slots that you want to fill out, fill it out. We will put it on the poster for you if you fill this out and then let you know if there's any conflicts of times on that. Feel free, totally free, to go to the poster and sign up. Please put your name and phone number out there so that we can keep track and remind you and so forth of your times you've selected. Pumpkin patch, it's a project, a mission, an opportunity that we do every October. It gives us a chance as a church to reach out to the community, to let them know we're here, to let them know that we care. And this year, we want to have every one of us in the church participate in the pumpkin patch, either through sales, through prayer, through food, through all the different things that's going to go on within the pumpkin patch. We'll be feeding those who unload the pumpkin patch on Saturday. We'll be having Pumpkin Mania around the 21st, that's Saturday. We'll be feeding people from the community then. And all other events, clean up, help us throw the pumpkins in the dumpster, and all that other stuff. All the little things that have to be done that adds up to a successful pumpkin patch. Most of all, though, I'm asking for you to pray. Pray for this pumpkin patch because we're putting it together real quick. And pray that we will reach our mission of reaching this community and letting them know that we care. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. And speaking of the pumpkin patch, we do need donations of food or money. We do have someone that's donated hot dogs for all the people that will be coming to unload the truck. So we'll need donations of like hamburger or hot dog buns, chips, water, and like I said, or money or cookies or anything that you feel led to bring to help serve those that are will be unloading the trucks. Let's see. Are there any other announcements? Okay. If you would turn to the back for the opening words. Like the sun is far away and yet close to at hand to warm us,
so thy spirit is ever present and
around us. Come, Creator, into our lives.
We live and move and
have our very being in you. Open now the window of our souls. Amen.
If you would please stand and turn in your hymnals to 620, we will sing One Bread, One Body. One bread, one body, one Lord of all, one cup of blessing which we bless, and we, though many, throughout the earth. Lord.
Gentile or Jew, servant or free, woman or man, no more. One bread, one body, one Lord of all, one cup of blessing which we bless, and we the many throughout the earth. We are one body in this one Lord. Many the gifts, many the words.
Please be seated.
What do you think about this rain that we're having? Cold.
Oh.
You haven't seen anything yet in terms of cold, but rain is interesting, isn't it? Now, when it rains, we can go inside to get out of the rain, but what do we do when we go outside in the rain? When we're outside, we get wet. That's right. We have ways to protect ourselves, but we get wet. And when one person gets wet, we all get wet, right? The rain falls down on every living thing, doesn't it? And every inanimate thing, for that matter. It rained through our roof this morning in the nursery, so we're having trouble with that. That happened during Irma, but we had a flood, and I am tired of dealing with floods, but anyway... When it rains on us all. And I want to tell you that that is a lot like God's love. When he loves us all. It's not just for some. It's not just for you. It's not just for me. God's love pours down on every living thing. God created us. God made us. and God loves us. And that's one of the things that we celebrate when we come to the communion table. How many of you, which of you takes communion? Who takes communion? You, both of you take communion. Do you know why you take communion? Why do you take communion? Ah, we don't know why we take communion. Well, this is a good opportunity to learn that. We take communion because although God has loved us, God wants a response from us, and we need God. We kneel at this table and receive and remember that Jesus died for us through the gift of the body and the bread and the juice. We remember that he died for us. He poured out his love for all of us, but we need to say yes back to God. We need to say, yes, Lord, even though he pours out his love on us, it doesn't help if we don't say something back to God. And that's one of the things we're doing when we kneel at the table. We're saying, we need you, God. We want to love you and know you even more. So what are you going to tell people now about why you take communion? To know and love God more. I'm just going to give you the answer. To know and love God more is why we take communion, and to say yes to God. To say yes back to God. He loves us. He pours down his rain on all of us, his love on all of us through the giving of his son on the cross, but we need to say yes to God. And so we come to the communion table to say, yes, Lord, I love you. I need you. Thank you, God. So that's why we take communion. Let's bow our heads and say a prayer. We thank you for the rain which refreshes and sometimes more. But, dear God, it all comes from you, just like your love that is showered upon us. And we pray, dear God, that we as your people will continue to say yes to you and come and kneel at your table today with the whole world as we celebrate World Communion. Amen. Okay. You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm going to invite our ushers to come as we prepare to take the morning offering. I don't know whether we're going to have two or four or, oh, here we go. Thank you so much. We're going to have four ushers. Wonderful. Here you go. And let me bow, let us bow our heads and pray. You are the author of every good and perfect gift, dear God, and we thank you so much because of the gift of your Son. And we ourselves, dear God, say yes and love you back today. And we offer ourselves, we give of ourselves, we offer to you our sacrifice of love, dear God, today. We ask that you bless us, bless this church, and may we use all these gifts for furthering your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. That was beautiful. I want to mention some names to us. I will not remember all of them that I need to name, but I want to share with you some that we can be in prayer for. Connie Laurie asked us to be in prayer for her. This is her second week of illness, and so we are in prayer for Connie. Bob Lambing continues to have heart-related issues, falling, and needs our prayers. Kay Lewis also is having some tests done and wants our prayers for her. Jean's story finds out tomorrow the results of her PET scan that she had, and this will tell us how well her chemotherapy was getting rid of her cancer. Myra Nichols, who's here worshiping with us today, needs our prayers. She had a hospital visit and would like our prayers for her recovery. Sue Michael, who continues to get better and better and stronger, feels much better, and we are praising God for that. Mary Dixon is having a needle biopsy, which just sounds terrible, on her kidney this week, and so she would like prayers for that. And I would like to just offer prayers for somebody who didn't ask for it, but who I know needs our prayers, and that's Annie Hernandez. We would like to pray for you, Annie. We know that you have your issues that we lift up to God. God knows the need, and we are grateful to God for hearing our prayers this morning. Would you turn with me on the back of the bulletin? Underneath the opening words is the prayer of confession and pardon, which we have especially on the day that we take communion. We ask for forgiveness before approaching the Lord's table. So let us unite together in this prayer. God have mercy. We confess that we have not loved you with all our being. We have done things which we ought not to have done, and we have left undone things which we ought to have done. We have built walls between neighbors and between countries, and we have ignored the cries of those in need. Forgive us and set us free, that we may live into the hope of your calling, that your reign may come on earth as it is in heaven. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Thanks be to God. Jesus died for our sins, and we are forgiven.
We are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Corinthians 2:1-13.
Diane, just read through 11.
11?
Yeah.
Okay. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolations from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave and being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death to the cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
There are different ways to do communion. There are different words to talk about communion. One of the words we use is Eucharist, which means, I think, body, Eucharist. And I was at a church in New Smyrna Beach, and we even did communion different at different services. It was a large church, three services on Sunday morning. Two churches took communion in the pews. Nobody had to get up and come forward and kneel or anything like that. We passed the tray, and they took communion that way. And at the contemporary service, they took communion by intinction. Everybody knows what intinction is. You take a piece of the loaf. There's a common loaf. You take a piece of the bread, dip it into the common cup, and then take the bread and the wine together, the juice together, at the same time. And that's how we did it at the contemporary service. And we had a few holdovers from the traditional services that were going to the contemporary service. So these were older people. But they came out of church one Sunday, and one elder said to me, "When are we going to start doing communion the right way?" And I didn't ask her what was the right way, but because I didn't know there was a right way to do communion. You know, churches do things differently in different places. Some churches have fancy stained glass windows, and others have early services or evening services. Some churches, people kneel. You would be kneeling and standing in some places. In some, they just stand. And, of course, we do a lot of sitting. Some churches do mission trips far away, and some churches do service projects right in their own backyard, like we have our food pantry. There are many different ways to do church as there are churches. And there are many different churches because there are many different people. When we visit another church, they aren't doing things wrong. They're just doing things differently. And I guess that was the problem with this person at the contemporary service. She was just visiting that service. She was, like I said, a holdover from the traditional service. And so she felt like she was visiting and that we were doing communion wrong. So while each church does things a little differently, today our all Protestant churches along our street, across our city, and around the world are doing one thing in particular the same. That is, today is World Communion Sunday. This means that churches around the world are participating in the sacrament of Holy Communion, which is sometimes called the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper. That's the way I grew up hearing it, the Lord's Supper. Now, most Protestants, this is changing a little bit, but most Protestants don't do communion every week. We do it every week at the early service here, but not at this service. So even us does things differently according to the service. We suffer from the view that the Eucharist is a special meal, so that when we partake of it, we tend to do it up really big, and we tack it on at the end of our service. It's the extra we tack on. And by contrast, because the Eucharist is the centerpiece of the Mass in the Roman Catholic Church, they understand what you might call the communion's indispensable ordinariness. It's like, for example, you wouldn't think of breakfast as being just for special occasions. Breakfast is every day. It starts your day. Well, communion is like that in some churches. It starts your day. It's all the time. And I suspect many of us wonder, well, what is up with Protestants and World Communion Sunday? And part of what's up is unity. Each time we take the bread and the wine, no matter how we take them, we remember that God loves us. And God wanted us to know so much of his love that he gave us Jesus. And today, through World Communion, we are celebrating that though each church does things differently, we each and all of us need God's love. By participating together around the world in Holy Communion, we celebrate our common need for God. And we are united in celebrating the receiving of his love and grace. But what does it mean to say that we're united? We even have that in our name, United Methodist Church. I can tell you for sure what unity is not. Unity is not a product of or a reward for our own efforts at getting along in controversial times. Neither is it uniformity or sort of a niceness of shallow peace. That's not unity. Rather, I believe unity is a gift. Sometimes we receive it badly or not at all. But it is nonetheless not of our own creation. It is the gift of union with Christ made known to us in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup. And on the occasion of World Communion Sunday, I decided to investigate what communion means to various people. So I went to the internet and I found some people who are smarter than me. It's not hard to do. But I found some people who had some words about why they take communion. I take communion, says one, because I am hungry for a place of radical acceptance where the tragedies and hopes of life are confronted. I am hungry for food that reminds me that God's love is so abundant that it feeds the world. I take communion because I have been hungry for the wrong thing. I have wanted to name God all by myself. At the table, I am reminded of my hunger and of the only one whose bread does not leave me empty. Someone else said that I take communion because it reminds me that the body of Christ goes far beyond those who circle the table in my little church. It's extended to those whom we will most likely never meet. Have you thought about that? We take communion today with people who we do not know. Which in turn, he says, forces me to live in the world as if every person were my brother or sister. Communion also reminds me of the divine nature of Christ's life and death and resurrection that has connected me to God forever and ever, which means that with every cell of my body, I must act with gratitude for the gift of Christ. And then once a month, I gather with community. Some are friends, some I barely know. We tell stories and how God brought us out of difficult times and into freedom. This is bread for our journey together. We sit at the table with people who have hurt us. We trust that God will give us the grace we need to be more than we are. We drink in those promises of God. Once a month, I gather in community to learn friendship, fellowship, and forgiveness from what Jesus did. And this requires a meal. And finally, this one I did not find on the internet. Why do I take communion? And it's basically what I told the children during the children's time. There are many different people. There are many different churches and different ways of serving God and worshiping. But in the end, to me, what brings us all together is our common need for God. And that we are all God's children, that God's love is poured out for us all. And that's why I take communion. We celebrate that we are different, yet we are the same. If you need God today, and you haven't a relationship yet with God, but would like to know more of what this is about, you are invited to come to this table. You do not have to be a member of this church or of any church. You are invited to God's table, not my table, not the church's table. It's something that God does, and all are invited. The rain is poured out on us all. Make your yes to God today by coming and kneeling to receive the gift of his love for you and for me. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we are each different, but we each need you. We are each different, but we are each your children. Thank you for loving us the same, each and all. Amen. Let us continue to worship God through the giving and receiving of the gifts of God this morning. And we're going to need help with ushering again. And I think Miss Peggy's going to show us the way to do that. But first, the choir is going to come. Jesus had a meal with his friends, and it was an ordinary meal, but it wasn't an ordinary night. And he took this ordinary piece of bread, and knowing what was to come, he broke the bread, and he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat this in remembrance of me, and be thankful." He also took the cup, and when he had given thanks and blessed it, he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this as often as you do it in remembrance of me." Amen. Christ's body, Christ's blood, offered to you, offered to me, God's gift for God's people. The choir will be served first, and then the ushers will lead you to the table. And if you cannot come, we will come to you and serve you in the pew. Will you come? Thank you.
If you would please stand and turn to 467 in your hymnals, we will sing Trust and Obey, verses 1, 2, and 4.
We sing. I mean, sometimes we're concerned about the music or getting the notes right, or sometimes we've sung them so many times they become automatic. But there are some beautiful words in these hymns. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says, we shall do. Where he sends, we shall go. Never fear, only trust and obey. For there is no other way. I thank you, but most of all, I praise and glorify the Lord my Savior today, and pray his blessing upon you as we leave this place. The grace, mercy, and peace of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with each of you as we leave this place. Go in his peace. Amen.
We are going to see the King. shall be careful for the home, especially the dwelling.